ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। The Lord's Opulence, Canto 11, Chapter 16, Text 8. Please repeat. Sir, Tada, Purusha Vyagro, Yukya, May, Patibodhitah, Abhya Bhashata, Mam, Evam, Chita, Tvang, Rana, Mudhani. Sutada Purushak Yagro, Yukdiya Me Patibodhita, Abhyabhashata Mam Evam, Yata Tvang Ranam Murdhani. Satada Purusha Vyagro, Yuktya Me Patibodhita, Abhyabhashata Mam Evam, Yata Tvam Hranam Murdhani. Satada Purusha Vyagro,
Satada Purusha Vyagro,
Yuktya Me Patibodhita,
Yuktya Me Patibodhita,
Abhyabhashata Mam Evam,
Abhyabhashata Mam Evam,
Yata Tvam Hranamurdhani,
Yata Tvam Hranamurdhani.
Saha,
He,
Tada, at that time, Purusha Vyagraha, the tiger among men, Yukya, by logical argument, Nay, by me, Patibodhitaha, enlightened in real knowledge, Abhyabhashata, addressed questions, Mam, to me, Evam, thus, Yata, just as, Tvam, you, Rana, of the battle, Murdhani, in the front. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. At that time, I enlightened Arjuna, the tiger among men, with logical arguments, and thus, in the front of the battle, Arjuna addressed me with questions in the same way that you are now inquiring. Here is no purport. So we'll go on to the next verse. Just one small comment. So somehow or another, in our modern society, various Sanskrit words creep in. There's one from this verse, at least one, maybe more, have crept into our modern day language. Does anyone recognize a word that, I mean, it's not a very It's used in a very sinful way nowadays. There's one word in this verse which is slightly different spelt in this one, but in the descriptions in other scriptures it's spelt exactly the same way as it's spelt nowadays in modern language usage. Any see a word there that might trigger anything off? Pardon? Yes, what does that mean? Tiger among men. So what has that got to do with modern day
Viagra?
We won't get into the details of it. It's another one of these Kali Yuga efforts to try to enjoy, conquer over God's arrangement, Krishna's arrangement. This word here means tiger. It, in other places it means to become as strong as a lion. Lion-like, like a tiger. It's the name of one of Krishna's pet dogs. He has two pet dogs, Brahmaraka and Viagra. And the Viagra means strong like a lion. So they're taking these words, nobody knows this, but this is misuse of demoniac mentality. Sometimes these words creep into the English language, just like this is a good one, this is beneficial for everyone, and you see this word Rama everywhere, isn't it? Just down the road there's Sainarama and Autorama and Dondarama and Sinarama and so many Ramas everywhere. Rama in New Zealand, and everywhere you see the name Rama, Ramada, hotel, different ways that Lord Ram or Krishna and Balaram are giving their mercy to the people of the world. In Malaysia you have Hari Hari, means today, Hari Selamat, well, like good day, like that. So this way, sometimes it's very good. In Sydney, in the red light district, there's Sexorama. Sexorama. This word Rama there, some kind of nice word, joy or something. This way Krishna's mercy creeps in. And so many other words. Just like yesterday, the boy was asking, what would you, can we make something? And I said, soup. They didn't know what soup was. They didn't know what soup is or was, still is. Some of you may know what soup is. It's also a Sanskrit word. This word soup is in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the pastime of the Govardhan Lila, when all the devotees are bringing their offerings to Lord Giriraj to try to pacify him. Then one of the preparations is soup, S-U-P, soup. And the transliteration, the word for word translation is translated, it means liquid vegetables. That's what it means, liquid vegetables. It's a Sanskrit word, soup. So many of these words have, even in the English language, clearly descended from Sanskrit. So we move on to the next verse, connected, I think. Aham atmodavanisham bhutanam surid ishvarah aham sarvani bhutani tesham stichud bhavapyayah. My dear Uddhava, Krishna is continuing to talk to his dearmost devotee and friend Uddhava. My dear Uddhava, I am the super soul of all living entities, and therefore I am naturally their well-wisher and supreme controller. Being the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all entities, I am not different from them. Purport. Of course, these translations and purports are by Vidyananda Maharaj and other devotees assisting him in the completion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the commentary or purport which of this verse. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that the personality of Godhead maintains an ablative and genitive relationship with his opulences. I'm a very ignorant personality, really. What does that mean? Ablative and genitive. Some of you are very good at the English language. What exactly does that mean? Ablative and genitive. Anyone familiar with these words? They're not very commonly used, in, at least not in normal English. Yes, Mother Rasa. Can you say a little louder?
Whose?
Don't know. Who and whose, is that what you're saying?
Yes, to each, to whom.
To whom? That's genitive? English grammar.
Who? Yeah.
To whom it belongs.
Okay. Ablation speaks phrase.
Pardon?
Ablation speaks phrase.
No, ablative.
Ablative.
When you study English language, all these different ways of using the words are described by, you know, past tense, present tense, possessive tense, this one, that one, but I haven't looked at this in more than 45 years ago or something. Can't remember. So one is like, anyway, along those lines. In other words, in the verse also, it's like Krishna is, in what here it says, not different from everything, yet they are also his. Along those lines. He is everywhere present, yet at the same time, he's separate in a sense. He's individual. They're his. In the, this is, we could say that some people may twist this and interpret this as everything is one. But that's not really the point. Krishna's Bhagavad Gita also explains how, although he's present everywhere and everything is in him, he's still aloof. It's the mystic potency of the Absolute that he can, nothing exists without his potency, without his arrangement. Nothing can exist, yet it appears to be, although it's not, it appears to be separately existing, just like the jiva. We were hearing yesterday how the jiva has that free will. Without the free will of Krishna, that free will doesn't exist. Without the arrangement of Krishna, the ability to fulfill that free will does not exist. The material world cannot exist without the or any facility. Even though we may understand that we have our independent free will, that's our nature, the fulfillment of that free will is impossible for the jiva unless the Supreme arranges facility to arranges a situation to facilitate that free will. Everything is by his grace. Everything, we can see the material world is simply his mercy. We want it, not to say we consciously are aware of all the details of it, but we want to have a facility where we can feel ourselves in the center, feel ourselves separate from Krishna, and think of ourselves as the Bhuktaram Yogitapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that we want to see ourselves as the enjoyer and the controller and so on. So the material world is arranged for that purpose, primarily to, because of the desire of the jiva. Prabhupada describes this, he gives nice examples so many times of how a tree is reflected on a water body, lake or river or whatever. How do you see the tree upside down? If there's no tree, there's no reflection. If there's no water, there's no reflection. The tree exists, the water exists, but the reflection, it appears to exist, and it does in one sense, is not real in the practical sense of the term. It exists in a relative sense. If there's no sunlight, you will not see the reflection of the tree. It's perverted, it's upside down. This is the nature. When you turn your back to Krishna, everything, just like we heard this word Vyagra, now for many people this word is like a holy word. It's like you can say, but it's a very important word to some people. It is perversion. Perverse. In this material world, the sex life, for instance, is the epitome of people's enjoyment, practically. But unfortunately, it's a perverse. It's a perverse form. It's perverse. Me in the center. In the spiritual world, sex life exists in the transcendental pure form, but it's entirely with Krishna in the center. Entirely with Krishna in the center. And it's not even just putting Krishna in the center. We're also hearing yesterday Sankarshan Maharaj Prabhu was explaining how we have to come to the level of Dasya Ras. We can't just remain on Shantaras, just being aware of Krishna's greatnesses, his opulences. This is stage one, but if we want to develop actual relationship with Krishna, we have to go further. If we want to develop love for Krishna, then we have to come to Dasya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and so on. Begin with Dasya Ras. This is our business. Gopi Bhakta Pada Kamalam Dasa Dasa Anu Dasya. We have to develop this mood, Jiva Srupai Nichera Krishna Das, that we're servants of Krishna. We're not just appreciators. God is great. God is all pervasive. God is this. God is love. And so many things. They're all true, but they're in this gallery like this. They're a little, as I say, separated, not separated in one sense, but they're like his. The process of Dasya Ras brings a little bit more ultimately to the point where Krishna is mine, mentality. At this point we don't of course necessarily have that type of mentality. We see ourselves as Krishna's servants, and we just are learning how to please his will, how to work according to his will. So Prabhupada went on, so the material world is basically arranged. It's also Krishna's will, because he wants to facilitate us and so on and so forth, being his part and parcels, but because it's based on our desire. It wouldn't exist otherwise. And sometimes Prabhupada would answer that question. People say, well, if everyone became like you, and if what you say is true, that by chanting Hare Krishna and by practicing devotional service, everybody will be delivered from this material world, then what will happen? There will be nobody here. How will it go on? It will be finished. I've said yes. I don't know exact words, some of you may know. You've understood correctly. This is our business, to finish it up. Finish up this material world. People are afraid of that. They're too attached. And what would they do if there's no material world? And of course we know quite well what they should do, and what we should do also. There's no end of this material world is so tiny compared with the spiritual world. The pleasure in relationship with Krishna is unending. The pleasure in relationship with others in this world is certainly full of dukkhalya mashashvatam. It's full of distress and so much lamentation and anxiety, and trying to make a relationship in this material world as good as our relationship with Krishna just does not work. Simply doesn't work. Try as we may. This is the very center point of our envy, you can say, of Krishna, as we're trying to see others as the objects of our pleasure. Even now, with our family, with our friends. It's quite natural. It's the nature of the soul to have loving relationships. But when they're separated from Krishna, then they become perverse. They become upside down. And if everything's upside down, it's a bit of a mess. Topsy-turvy. It's like if you have to walk upside down, it's not very good. And where soul is basically upside down, hanging upside down in this world. So as a tree depends on the reflection of the tree, depends upon the tree being there. Otherwise you can have no reflection. You can have none of this variety in this world unless the original has variety. Without some, let's say, source of power, opulence, behind it there will be no reflection. Without Krishna there can be no reflection here either. And without some platform or basis for the tree to be reflected on, there will be no reflection. As soon as you take the water away, you can see no more reflection. It's just not there. Of course you can say shadow, fair enough, that's another form. But we're just talking of water reflection. So all three must be there. There is variety. There is variety there. And similarly, Prabhupada says, if the desire of the living entity, if the material world is based on the desire, as the tree is reflected on water, the material world is reflected on the desire of the jiva, or the soul. And when the desire of the jiva changes, and instead of being, you know, attached to the reflection, it one becomes attached to the source of even the object, both the reflection and the object which is being reflected, the spiritual world, the spiritual energy. Some people just look at the object which is being reflected, you could say Brahman, but beyond that, the Parabrahman, without which Brahman will not exist. Brahman, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, is resting on the Supreme Being. So all three must be understood. And then one doesn't, then there is no more, then the whole material world does not, even though you're in the world, does not really exist anymore. It's because you're seeing it in relationship with Krishna. Spiritual becomes spiritual. When we see everything in relationship with Krishna, that's spiritual. Material energy is just basically when our consciousness perceives it separately from Krishna. Whether mind, body, whatever it is, intellect, everything is perceived separately from Krishna, it's called matter. And the spirit, when we see everything in relationship with Krishna, and not me in the center, Krishna in the center. So our Krishna conscious movement is directed for that, to learn how to see everything with Krishna in the center. Basically surround, that's the basis of our whole program, is to try to put Krishna in the center. The deity worship, of course, is tantamount, or in the center pivot of this, where everything we think of and do is for their pleasure. What we say, the more we can be conscious during the day, how would Radha Balava, Gornitai, and so on, like me to deal with this situation? Being conscious of Krishna, come before them sometimes, and you don't have to shout it out, but reveal our hearts to Radha Balava or whoever our worshipful form of Krishna is, deity form. Like this, personal, becoming a little personal, and not just mechanical only, which is a good start, but becoming a little aware that Krishna is present. This is not just a means to an end. The means itself of devotional service is the ultimate end. It's just a matter of purifying it. It's not a question of giving it up at a certain point of time. By the practice of devotional service itself, gradually, that love of God, Nityasiddha Krishna praying Sajja Kavanai Shravanadi Shri Chiti Kali Rudai, which is natural for everyone to love, we just have to turn it towards Krishna. And naturally in time, that will naturally awaken by Shravanadi, by hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is the process. Hearing and chanting, and hearing and chanting will mean that we will also remember Krishna and serve Krishna. If you hear from, say, for instance, you ask me, please, can you bring me a cup of water? And you sit there and do nothing, which sometimes happens. Either you've not heard, or you don't really understand, or whatever it may be. But if you actually heard, then you think, oh, If I want to please that person, what shall I do? If I want to please them, what shall I do? Maybe I'll just sit here. That will please them. No. Oh, I'll bring them a cup of beer. That would be better. Yes. A cup of milk. No, much better. Okay, there's some kind of sentiment, but it's wrong. It's putting yourself in the center again. What I think they would like. Or maybe what I would like and they don't like, then I can have it because they don't like it. Or whatever it is, it's putting ourselves in the center. So many ways you can look at that. But that's, you know, even in a sense, it sometimes creeps in to our idea of serving Krishna. We have to learn and do what Krishna wants. No, that's the whole point. Learning to cooperate with Krishna. Learning to become an instrument. Nimitta matra bhavasavasa chinna. An instrument for the pleasure of Krishna. This is our process. And only then will we be satisfied. When we're connected to Krishna with love, only then will the soul be satisfied. Otherwise we will be dissatisfied. And this is the... Because our relationship with Krishna, although we're part and parcel of Krishna, we also have our individuality. From Krishna's point of view, we're His. Yeah, and He's inside us, in one sense, but at the same time, we are individual. We have our individual free will to express two factors of the jiva. One is affection, the other is aversion. And we can, they manifest in every sphere of existence, basically, to a certain degree. Affection and aversion in this material world, perversion. In the spiritual world, then that affection towards Krishna and aversion towards anything separated from, or which appears to be separate or displeasing to Krishna, is the manifestation of those two aspects of the jiva's nature. Affection, wanting everything for Krishna's pleasure, as a sign of Sharanagati, and doing only that which is pleasing to Krishna, or favorable to a development of our love of Krishna, and rejecting that which is unfavorable. So this is a stage which we have to try to cultivate. In other words, the Lord is not different from all living entities because they are coming from Him and they belong to Him. The Lord gave a similar explanation to Arjuna in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 10:20, beginning with the words Aham Atma. What's that verse? I don't know it off by heart. 10:20. Anyone know it? 10:20? And if you have a Bhagavad Gita, you can look it up. It's not explained here, or it's not translated here. Although the Lord describes His external or material opulences, the Lord's position is always transcendental and non-material. Just as the living soul within the body gives life to the body, similarly the Lord, by His supreme potency, gives life to all the universal opulences. Was part and parcel of Krishna, where so one of Krishna's energies, superior energy, atarayam taskanyam, with that superior energy, and the material energy is basically just covered spirit, but it's described relatively speaking in its separate parts as being material energy like earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intellect, and so on. Also ego. Krishna separated, and there is energies, just like the milk is separated energy. Cow, or a sound vibration is separated energy of a living being, whatever they may be. These are just some points. I just wanted to, I'll finish and mention a few things. Coming up, you have a wonderful Rathayatra festival of Lord Jagannath. Don't miss this on January the 9th. 9th?
Yes.
Wonderful festival. We've just had 9 Rathayatras in a month in Malaysia. December is the Rathayatra season there. There's another one also on the 1st of January. I missed that one. And an ecstatic Rathayatra is really blissful. One of your old associates here, some of the old devotees will remember Amoga Prabhu. Can you read anyone here when Amoga was here? He used to live here for many years. One of the oldest devotees. One of the oldest in our movement, actually. You know Amoga. Amoga Prabhu. I think you must know, American by birth, but lived here for many years. He was here when Prabhupada was here at the Ratha Yatra in 1975. He was here then. And he was in Malaysia for a Ratha Yatra, at least the last one of them in Kuala Lumpur. And he said, well, sometimes people ask me, what was it like in the good old days? He's been around since like 69 or something. And he said, especially sometimes asked, what were the kirtans like in the good old days? And he said, well, if you really want to know, you just experienced it today. Not here, I mean in Kuala Lumpur, the Ratha Yatra. He said, the kirtans today, he said, were as good as any kirtan I've ever been in. And he's a kirtan man. And he said, I've been in so many kirtans with Prabhupada which were absolutely ecstatic, but he said, I felt today it was just the same. Exactly the same. Don't think about that. Realize the good old days are now. It's up to us whether we take it. The ecstasy of absorbing ourselves or connecting ourselves, we can't necessarily, you know, directly feel that we're, you know, relationship with Krishna this way and that. So the Lord has appeared in a form that we can actually embrace Him, that we can actually feel His real presence, and that is in the form of kirtan. Sankirtan is the form of Krishna in this age. Yuga Dharma is congregational chanting of the holy name. This is the Yuga Dharma. It's not just chanting, that's also there. Of course it's there, but it's particularly, specifically congregational chanting. Chanting together. We can do japa together, we can do kirtan together, we can do Harinam Sankirtan, Nagar Sankirtan, together, Vajan Sankirtan. This is the Yuga Dharma. Together we glorify the holy name of Krishna. He's appeared in this wonderful, easily accessible form where there are no hard and fast rules. Even if you're not pure at heart, you can still enter into the association of the Lord in this form of Sankirtan. So we should take advantage of that. Ratha Yatra is a wonderful festival. Also related to that, in January you have many things coming up, but amongst them there's an international ISKCON International Festival, January the 14th to 19th, to honor Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas. 500 years ago he took sannyas in 1510 in January. In different scriptures describe different timings. Prema Vilas says the third day of Magh. In the Chaitanya Bhagavad, it says, during the constellation of Makara Sankranti, which is January, I don't know what it is here, it's different, I think it's the 15th or 16th of January. It's the 14th in some places. You have to check that one out. But that apparently is not the day that he actually took sannyas, that's the day he left home to take sannyas. The purpose of his taking sannyas is very interesting. And I would request you all to hear about it during that period. I don't know exactly what will go on, but it's very, very, anyone who hears about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who's taken sannyas and understands the deeper meanings especially, is assured of love of God and freedom from this world. It's a very powerful pastime, and some people don't like it, some devotees don't like it necessarily, they have some sentiment otherwise, but that's because we don't understand the real meaning behind it. Is to deliver all of his devotees to the highest form of ecstasy. All of the residents of Navadweep entered completely into Vipulamba Bhav, which is the highest form of ecstatic relationship, because they were feeling intense separation from Gauranga Mahaprabhu constantly, day and night. He was simultaneously present, of course. He assured them that I will always be with you every moment, and whenever you think of me, I'm there right away. But at the same time, they were feeling separation. So that's one reason. He himself, of course, was experiencing that same bhava in relationship with Krishna. He was in the mood of Radharani. So coming and taking sannyas was, in that sense, was his experiencing the mood of Radharani when Krishna left, or appeared to leave, Vrindavan Dham. So he himself was fulfilling his own desire to experience the highest love of Srimati Radharani in the mood when he was a sannyasi. And of course the external reasons are many. He was cursed by a Brahmin and this and that, but that was all his words. he spoke through that Brahmin and cursed himself as an external excuse to give up the material world. And externally, we understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also explained that in order to fulfill my mission to deliver all living entities, I have to travel and preach and accept the order of sannyas and teach. You know, ultimately we all have to take sannyas, and it's not a change of dress or shaving off of the hairs or whatever it may be. It's a little different than that. Sannyas is internal. When we ultimately have to give up all of our aspirations to see ourselves separate from Krishna, or to see Krishna as an object to fulfill my desires, separate desires from him, etc. It's when we, sannyas means we have no other desire other than the will of Krishna. Doesn't matter man or woman, old or young, grihast or so-called sannyasi, the principle of becoming a Goswami is preliminary. It's a premise. If you read in the Nectar of Instruction, in the preface, before we get into the text, Srila Prabhupada explains there that, you know, to become a pure devotee, first of all, everyone must become a Goswami. In other words, we have to control our senses, not just control them, but utilize them fully in the service of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu is also teaching us, and every he's a perfect acharya, teaching us these various necessities in life. This is particularly accepted that particular order, and there are many pastimes and stories related to that. How Krishna himself also would sometimes take the position of a sannyasi to try to capture Radharani's attention. And so on. Many different aspects of his internal reason, but externally it was for the spreading of the Krishna consciousness, because especially the impersonalists, the Mayavadis at that time, they were not respecting anyone who wasn't a sannyasi practically. But by taking sannyas, all the scholars and impersonalists and everybody, they automatically respected Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was able to convert in Mayavadis and Jains and Buddhists and all types of persons to take up Sankirtan, to embrace Sankirtan and thus become purified. So we'll finish with the final note that today most of you are busy, I appreciate that, but anyone who doesn't know about it and is free, you're welcome to join us on Harinam Sankirtan. I don't know where we're going. You can ask Ms. Dayananda around, I don't know where he is, but you can ask Dayananda Prabhu where we're going. I don't know, somewhere in Melbourne. We're not going to the same place that we always go. Lord Chaitanya's mission is Pratipati Achiyati Nagarati Gram. Every town and every village. I was reading yesterday, Prabhupada here in Melbourne, Prabhupada spoke at the Rathiatra festival. Srila Prabhupada said that we put some exact words, but he said that they will come, that in every village, in every town, there will be a temple of Krishna. Not just the chanting, but a temple. So that's another challenge, every village, not just every town or suburb. So we're going to go today to a lot of the places in Melbourne. They probably don't hear the holy name very often, and they don't all go into Swanston Street or Flinders Street or Cullen Street or any of these other places. Many of the people never go there, or if they do, they never see us. So we're going to places like that today. You're welcome to come along. We may have a few seats in the van. Otherwise, if you have transport, just follow along with a caravan, and we'll try to assist and try to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's prophecy and desire that we preach in every town and village the holy name. What is it? Holy name is supposed to be distributed. By distributing the holy name, we get the holy name. The holy name reveals himself to us. Okay, we're going to finish there because time is short and everyone's obviously got responsibilities to fulfill. Any questions? 5 or so minutes. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Dave.
You mentioned briefly that the Chinese tradition is a lot more in the sense of including things as Christian likes it and not as we like it. And at the same time, you mentioned that we're still individuals. So, how is it that, you know, we express that individuality of the Chinese become more and more in terms of Christians and so on? So, where's the individuality come into play?
When we become an instrument of Krishna? You've got yours is a brahmachari, you see. Okay, I'll repeat the question briefly and you can correct me because my hearing is also going down, I think. Basically, the question is that, you know, if we become completely, you know, to fulfill the will of Krishna, then where does our free will or individuality come into it? We just become like merged into the will of Krishna, and that's it, full stop. Interesting question, a very beautiful question. I was just saying he's a brahmachari, because anyone can be a brahmachari, it has nothing to do with the order of life, but somebody who's got a little bit of memory left. Usually I forget everything in the class except for the last few lines of the class. And I've seen that most of the questions usually refer to the last few statements, or statements which may not even be related to the class very much at all. But here's something from the middle or early part of the class being asked. It's a good sign. Did you write it down or did you remember it? Pretty good. Some memory still remains. Keep it, stay a brahmachari, you'll do well. So where's our free will? Of course, the first expression of our free will is that itself. Rather say this is the, at least in our present situation, this is the real manifestation of our free will. Do we want to be pleasing to Krishna, or do we want Krishna to be kind of pleasing to us in an ignorant way? In other words, Krishna arranges everything for me, or do I want to think of arranging everything for Krishna? So that's the first thing, doing everything. We turn towards Krishna, or we don't, or we turn away from Krishna. So that's the first stage of that, of our free will. Then when we turn towards Krishna, where does our free will come in? Right? Is that the idea?
How is it expressed?
Well, you can see in the material world, it's perverted, but it's quite obvious that there is some individual free will behind it all. And the spiritual is also expressed. Now, there's unlimited variety in the spiritual world. And a living entity does, although we usually understand that we have our constitutional nature and relationship with Krishna, we also have a choice. There's a choice there. Srila Prabhupada said that the living entity also has that choice of in which particular mood we serve Krishna in. Generally it's understood it's an eternal nature, but the choice is there nonetheless. We become attracted to serving Krishna or bringing pleasure to Krishna in varieties of ways. There's unlimited variety there in the spiritual world, and variety is the spice of life, and different liberated or pure souls will no doubt feel a loving expression towards Krishna, which will manifest in varieties of practical services towards Krishna, varieties of decorations, varieties of pastimes and games in relationship with Krishna, different conversations and so on which take place. Unlimited things take place there in the spiritual world, and the freedom of expression of the living entity is unlimited, but it's always completely, how can I bring pleasure to Krishna? What will bring pleasure to Krishna? And you may inquire from other devotees who are there in disciplic succession in the spiritual world. We'll always be in disciplic succession. We're always working under the shelter of in our particular line, of course, a Lalita Devi or whoever it may be, and then her Rupa Goswami and Kamala Manjari, one down, 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 will be learning from them. We're attracted to this service. We're a particular devotee who's expert in that particular form of making flowers in such and such a way with different color combinations for Krishna's pleasure. Will teach us how to do this and that, whatever it may be. That when in love, in loving relationship, you don't. The problem is, in this world, we don't really have that full experience. But when it comes to love, there's no question of a problem there, because in real love, all you think about is that. What will please my beloved? That's all one will think about. One's not thinking of my sense enjoyment. One's only thinking of the pleasure of the beloved. That is the perfection of free will. And whatever we will be thinking, well, maybe, would he like this more? Let me ask one of his friends, would he like this type of food today? Would he? What did he eat during the day? You'll always be thinking of what will bring more pleasure to Krishna. More and more and more. And never thinking of one's own, let's say, if it brings pain to me or whatever it is, that's great. If it brings pleasure to Krishna, one's never thinking, what about me? This idea of what will I get out of it, or what about me? Nobody respects me. This is all complete maya. And we have to, step by step, putting Krishna in the center, become released of all this type of self-centeredness. And then we become eligible to end. And then those sort of questions become naturally, that you don't even have to say, realize they're just, as Sankarshan Prabhu was explaining yesterday, you don't have to tell, let's say, a person who's completely satisfied when they've eaten a good meal, you know, I don't believe that you're satisfied. They don't care less whether you say that. They know they're satisfied. So all this will be fully revealed or natural when one actually comes to that point of accepting the fact that, or say, using our free will properly, and accepting the fact that we are the eternal servant of Krishna, and we have to learn from the eternal servants, those who are nitya siddhas, those who realize that, how to act in that way, and by their grace and by the grace of Krishna, we'll become released from this other mentality, this other idea, and enter into that realm where things naturally, everything becomes completely pure and natural. You don't have to learn it at university, get a degree, or even study it. It's the nature of the soul to have that flow of affection towards Krishna in whatever way it may be. And there will be unlimited, constant, permanent variety there of various ways to bring pleasure to Krishna. And the soul will have its own personal choice in amongst all of that. Hare Krishna. Okay, our time is 8:35. We're going for Harinam Sankirtan this morning. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kuntra Shriman Bhagavatam ki jai. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sannyas. 500th anniversary of sannyas ki jai.